Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
With me today is Melinda Cruz, and we are into the month of May, so we will be talking about miracle babies. Good day, Melinda.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. And you?
Good, very good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for your time. And we are celebrating 15 years, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, 15 years this year. It's amazing.
And you're not a stranger to miracle babies because you've had three of your own.
Yeah, so I've got three boys who are all born early. My first one was born at 34 weeks. He was 6 weeks early. And then my second one, which was really the inspiration behind starting the foundation, he was born 13 weeks early. And then I was lucky with my third one. I had an operation, a cervical stitch at 12 weeks pregnant, and then on bed rest and got him to almost full term, but just 37 weeks. So I was 3 weeks early with him.
So three miracle babies gave you the inspiration for the Miracle Babies Foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think while we were in hospital, I had a lot of support, and, you know, you're surrounded by doctors and nurses and allied health team. But it was really once we got discharged that I realised we needed more support, we needed more help, and just not having any access to services. So this is going back, like, my second son, he's nearly 16, so the foundation's always a year behind him because I started it when he was one.
Mm-hmm.
And just realising that there was nowhere for us to go to get information, to get support, to get, you know, developmental help with him. So that was really the inspiration. I approached the hospital where their boys were born and spoke to the doctor, and he thought it was an absolutely fantastic idea. He knew that it was needed and it was a massive gap. And together and with some other miracle mums who'd also gone through the experience, we started the foundation.
So 15 years on, what do you think are the things that have gotten better through time?
Oh, I really think that the parent voice has made an absolute difference, and the way that the health system's been really receptive to listening to the needs of families. So in a few years ago, there was a study that was initiated in Canada by the specialists and the researchers over there that then Australia and New Zealand also took part in, called FICARE, which is Family Integrated Care. And it really looked at how to integrate parents into the care of the babies while they're in an intensive care situation. So this was about parents spending more time being able to hold their babies, where when my boys were born, they, you know, kind of said, leave them in the humidity cribs, they don't need to be stimulated, let them grow.
Mm-hmm.
The research is the opposite. It's the babies do better if they're being held longer by their parents. And it's not just like, you know, a feel-good thing. It's been shown to help regulate their temperature, their heart rate, their breathing. They have shorter hospital stays. They have less infections. So really being able to integrate the parents into the baby's care team, that's definitely been a game changer in the way care has happened. And nearly all of the hospitals across our country has adopted that into their practice. The other thing too, and, you know, social media can get a really bad rap, but there's actually been a lot of positive things. So when I had my boys, you know, Facebook didn't exist. It was really hard to get information even online,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of the reasons we lobbied the government for funding for our website, was because if you were searching for information, you were finding stuff from the UK or the US that wasn't relevant to here. But the other thing is, it was really hard to explain to family what we went through. Because it's an intensive care situation, because it's behind closed doors, you know, like the only photos, you know, back then we would have to go and get them developed or things like that. But with social media, you can open the doors to what happens within a NICU, and it's in real time, and you can share that with friends, share that with families. You know, people will write blogs about their feelings, and honestly, that's made such a huge difference, because it's not just what the babies are going through medically and physically, but what the family goes through emotionally. And we know how much trauma having an earlier or sick baby can do. And being able to connect to other people who have gone through it can change everything.
And I suppose, especially for first-time parents, it's different mm-hmm. if you read it from a book or from a website than when you actually experience it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of our program is that we can link families to other parents and other families who have gone through a similar situation. So say, for example, with me, having a 27-weeker, I wanted to speak to other parents that have had that and had that. And back then, it was not encouraged at all to speak to other parents. You were very much kind of kept isolated. Whereas now, you know, you can have instant access. So people can ring the foundation and speak to someone who's had a similar situation to them. They can jump online and read stories from parents that have gone through it. And it's really important too, because when we were getting discharged with him, I remember the doctor coming and talking to me about Dylan's lungs and saying, you know, that they were still underdeveloped, that we're probably going to have issues. And one of the things I said to him, I said, what's our life going to look like? Like, what's he going to be like at two? What's he going to be like mm-hmm. when he starts school? And the doctor at the time said, I have no answers for that. I can't tell you. And I said, can I speak to someone who is doing that? Like, he's raising a 27-weeker, and he couldn't at the time. So that was something really important for us to be able to build those kind of connections, and the families now can do that. And that's amazing.
And I suppose now more than ever, that's important, isn't it? Because a lot of us live where we are living in the four walls of our house and we hardly go anywhere mm-hmm. or because of coronavirus.
Yeah, absolutely. So we kind of, you know, when we were talking about having to go into lockdown and isolation, it's really not new for parents of premature babies. And I remember one of my staff members kind of having a little bit of a giggle saying, well, we've been doing this for years, like as parents of premature babies, because we knew that their immune system's compromised. And stats and research shows that babies born particularly really early and of a low birth weight are likely to be rehospitalized in their first 2 years for respiratory illnesses. So we've already had that pressure on us, knowing that we're scared of, you know, taking them out, mixing them in general population, and all of that. So this has just absolutely compounded it. So it's like everybody's now knowing what a parent, you know, with a premature baby is going through. So we did some research to have a look, because we know that parents that have premature and sick babies are more likely to have postnatal depression.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to see what's happening with parents now with the pandemic and with COVID-19. And the research has shown that 4 in 5 parents that have a premature sick baby are experiencing an even bigger increase in parental anxiety. They're worried about their own mental health. And one of the really, I think, things that was surprising to us was that they're actually less likely to go and see their doctor for non-COVID-related issues because of the pandemic. And that's a real concern, particularly for their own mental health and also, you know, the safety and health of their baby.
Because being a mother myself, in the early stages, I knew it was very difficult to express or to say how I feel. But once I got, you know, I got hold of it and I shared it with someone, I felt a lot better. So it's really important for you to be able to express and tell someone how you feel, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know the biggest way to make an emotional impact on a parent's journey is to make sure that they can have a connection with someone that's been there, or someone that has had a similar experience for exactly that reason, that they can open up in a safe environment and really express how they're feeling and understand that in most cases what they're feeling is completely normal.
And sometimes you don't want to go out of the house for fear of, you know, because you're vulnerable, you don't want to go out of the house and there's that fear that you might get infected. So there are other ways that you could connect, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been running for almost since the foundation started a 24-hour family line that any parent or extended family can access, which is 1-300-622-243. And we've noticed since COVID-19 that there's been a big increase on calls to that line. And we also, so before the pandemic happened, we had what we called nurture time, which is where our staff and volunteers would be visiting the unit and speaking to parents while their baby was in hospital. And then we had play and discharge programs called our nurture groups, where families could come until their children were 6 and ready for school. So since they've had to stop, we've moved all of them online. So it's a really great way that parents can still be connected. They just need to jump on our website, which is miraclebabies.org.au, and they can sign up for any of our online programs, have some face-to-face time through a Zoom call or Facebook Live or any of our chats, and be able to still stay connected.
And this is all available 24/7?
Yeah, so the 24-hour family line, absolutely. And then our online sessions are available all across the week at different times. So they can just log on and find a time and a day that suits them.
What has been the reaction and the reception towards the online sessions? Has it been as good as the actual face-to-face sessions?
I think some of them miss the interactions, particularly with the kids, especially when we have play groups, because one of the biggest challenges that can be for premature babies is, the ability to socialise. So being able to have those early skills. So I know a lot of families are missing that interaction. But for parents to be able to still see each other, still be able to ask questions, still have that connection, it's been fantastic. The other thing too, because they are online, and we were actually trialing this just before the pandemic so that we could open it up to people who may be isolated because of location. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our rural families can be part of that. So it's been a fantastic way that they can, come on board. And rather than it being location, because it is Australia-wide, they can actually interact with parents right across the country.
And I don't think anyone understands how big Australia is apart from the people who live here, isn't it? Because when
not
you say...
Well, the issue, I mean, a lot of people are really surprised that every year 48,000 babies are born premature or sick. Like, this is a big issue in our country. To not have had services for these families was a major crisis. Like, it was a big gap in the health system. So, yeah, our country, we're very spread out. Our families across Western Australia and very spread out. So to be able to offer that service for them online, we've talked, within our team meetings and things like that, that even once face-to-face or open up, we'll probably keep the online ones as well.
Finally, Melinda, when is the right time to ask for help?
Anytime. So through a threatened pregnancy, like I said, I was on bed rest for many weeks, and you have a lot of time to think, a lot of time to be really scared. Up until, then the babies are born, they spend the time in hospital. Once they go home, we're in the process of now developing programs for school-aged children into high school and early adulthood. So at any stage of the entire journey, families can get in contact with us and get support.
And you don't have to be really, really sad. You can just have one or two questions, and that's enough reason for you to start and make that call, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, it could be any kind of questions we've had. It may not be, something emotional. It may be something about feeding, or it may be you might have questions about baby's development, things like that. So any concerns that a parent has, they can jump online. We've got so much education and resources available to them. They can join any of our social media, Facebook is a fantastic way to be part of the community and see what kind of questions people are asking and things that people are talking about, or then they can just contact us directly through our programs or through the phone line.
Thank you very much, Melinda Cruz from Miracle Babies Foundation.
Thank you for having me.
Nice yung makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.